This is Fresh Air. Our rock critic Ken Tucker is going to tell us about his list of the 10 best recordings of the year. But first, he's going to pay tribute to some of the musicians who died in 2016, starting with Leon Russell, who died in November.
Any summation of the year in music for 2016 becomes a roll call for the dead. It seems as though there's been a startling increase in the number of important music makers who've passed away. Some of these deaths were shocks in various ways. We had no idea, for example, so soon after the release of his very good album Black Star, that David Bowie would die. When I reviewed Leonard Cohen's album of new songs, You Want It Darker, at the end of October, I said that its spiritually meditative music was like a living will. His age suggested that death might be imminent, but I couldn't know he'd die within days of the airing of that review. The death of Prince seemed to momentarily shake the earth. How could a musician so vital, so present, so witty, just vanish from daily existence? I know I'm not going to get to everyone, but other significant artists who died this year included Sharon Jones and Leon Russell, A Tribe Called Quest's Fife Dog and the Eagles' Glenn Frey, Maurice White, and Merle Haggard.
Down every road, there's always one more city. I'm on the run, the highway is my home. I raised a lot of cane back in my younger days. While Mama used to pray my crops would fail. Now I'm a hunted fugitive with just two ways. I'd run the law or spend my life in jail.
Turning to the living, I had no trouble coming up with 10 albums whose music provided me with reasons to be hopeful in a troubled year. There was amazing ambition on display from both Beyoncé and Miranda Lambert. Beyoncé's Lemonade wasn't just an album, it was a multimedia event full of power and assertiveness. Miranda Lambert filled the 24 songs on The Weight of These Wings with a passion that was often heartbreaking. And speaking of heartache, it spilled over the edges of William Bell's remarkable comeback album, This Is Where I Live.
I was born in Memphis in a different world. Now that time has come and gone. I was just a little boy when I heard Sam Cooke singing, a change is gonna come. It touched my soul and let me know there's a promise of a brand new day. Then I left my home, started out on my own. This is where I live. This is where I live. This is where I give all my love, all my time, all my money, every dime. This is where
I put two debut albums on my year-end top 10. The first is Margaret Glaspie's deceptively direct Emotions and Math. The second is by the I Don't Cares, which is really a new act from two familiar voices, Paul Westerberg and Juliana Hatfield. For the life of me, I cannot figure out why their slashing yet playful album Wild Stab didn't make more of a splash. Kelsey Walden's hardcore country album, I've Got a Way, was a model of throwback music that avoided nostalgia. I admired greatly the gritty yet alluring rhythm and blues of Maxwell's Black Summer's Night and the hard-charging ambition of Car Seat Headrest's Teens of Denial. Finally, two longtime favorites made my year-end list. Robbie Fulks's Upland Stories was a frequently magnificent achievement, full of novelistically detailed compositions about how the world can let you down. And Bonnie Raitt's Dig In Deep did just what its title said. It bore down hard on the idea that people frequently try to be better than they are and come up short. All in all, it was a sad year for music and an exhilarating one. New avenues of expression opened up for musicians just starting out, while some of the best veterans made being in it for the long haul sound like the most rewarding journey imaginable.
Ken Tucker is critic at large for Yahoo TV.